message is developing a radical thinking. Last week we talked a little bit about what God is doing, and he has clearly instructed us that we are in the midst of the Laodicean church age. And I was glad to see some of you turning to Revelation 3, 14 through 22. I'll give you a couple more scriptures that you can look at. 2 Thessalonians 2 and Malachi, the whole book. It's an end time book that is to the church. So we need to understand what God is saying. That is why we are actively preparing the prophets, because we need to know what God is saying so that we can be right on his page, right on the timing that's going on. And so it's imperative that we hear what God is saying, but even more so, do what he tells us to do. Amen? We should, as I said last week, we should be actively pursuing our spiritual fitness to see what kind of condition we're in. I agree with Pastor Gary because of what the Lord had said this morning was, who do we serve? Who do you serve? Who's king of your life? These are all questions that we have to do, because the Laodicean church, whether you understand it or not, rebelled against God's authority. Thanks. Rebelled against God's authority. And because it rebelled, it thought it was in a good position with God. And if you read what God said about the Laodicean church, let us not be rebellious against God or his authority. So part of this understanding about spiritual fitness is, are you submitted to the authority government of God? That is a dramatic question that all of us have to ask. I'm not just saying in certain things, I'm saying in all things. All things. We have been walking with Christ, and we should be seeing a systematic change occurring in our life. That is from the youngest change to the oldest. Constantly changing. I spoke of several words that we need to have proper understanding of. Wisdom. The definition of wisdom is the knowledge of how to do a thing. Wisdom is not something we think. Wisdom is someone. Someone. Christ is our wisdom. Are you seeking him to find out what he wants to do? Second one is strategy. Strategy is the proper use of wisdom to achieve the maximum result for the lowest amount of effort. And I can tell you, all of us are guilty of this. We are. I'm guilty. You know, we years ago tried to infiltrate the town by being a part of the music festival, and we reaped nothing. A lot of effort. Nothing. Then we talked about mercy. Mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. Not receiving what we deserve. Mercy. Do we cry out to God daily for mercy? You see, mercy is part of our repentance. Not just a one-time thing, God, you caught me and I'm done, but it's each and every day. Every moment. Then I talked about grace. Grace is receiving what we do not deserve. We don't deserve grace, but we want grace. We do. We think grace is good, but grace is, that is such a infantile mindset. So I expanded grace to a more mature definition. And it's the power of God to advance his kingdom beyond our natural abilities to accomplish his will on earth. Hear that again. It is the power of God to advance his kingdom beyond our natural abilities to accomplish his will on earth. And then we went to Hebrews 4:14. Or 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. There is not a time that we are not in need. I need Jesus. I am living this scripture presently. My whole goal in all this treatment was to bring honor and glory to God. And I am messing it up tremendously. Thank God that he's Lord of my life. I can repent to him. I can receive the grace. And with that grace, I will do better. I receive grace in things that is allowing me to go through this segment of a trial, but I am not successful. And I don't need to make excuses for a behavior that should have been corrected. You see, through trials and tribulations, that's when we come to realize just how weak we are and how much we need him. Lastly, I talked about the Greek word metron. It's about strategy. God's strategy. And it means a spiritual jurisdiction of a clearly defined territory. It is an area one has the scope or sphere of ministry ordained by God. And then I stated our metron is the Williamstown area presently. I've said for years, you don't need my permission to do what God has told you to do. You need to do it. Because you're not going to answer to me. You're going to answer to the King. So let us not be with excuses of why we're not doing the things that he called us to do. Because we can do it. Amen? The metron. You have to begin to correct your mindset that each one of us has a ministry. What is that ministry? What has God called you to be? What are you refusing to do that God has called you to do? Because you see, he called you. He will also do it through you if you will submit to what he tells you to do. It's really that simple, but we make it so hard. So what is God doing presently? Presently, he's making us aware that we need a radical change about what is happening in our fellowship, in our house of worship, in our family of God. So we're going to start looking at radical thinking patterns. And I would say to you, what is consuming your thought life? Is it your job? Is it the war in Ukraine? Is it your next meal? Is it the political atmosphere that's going on in this world? Is it the education versus indoctrination issues? If any of these things are consuming you other than the cause of Jesus Christ, you're nothing but a mere man or a woman. I remember last year when Pastor Gary had asked me why I wasn't getting all caught up in the political atmosphere. And I said, because I'm a kingdom man. The only politics I know is kingdom. Everything in this planet is evil, corrupt, and hopeless. So why would I even pay attention to what is going on here? I try to be a good soldier and not ensnare myself into the things of the world. Are you a good soldier? And I don't want this to be a heavy, but I want you to begin to start stimulating your thoughts. Because if you don't change the way you think, you won't change what you do. It's just as simple as that. If we are still acting and doing the things like we did before, and they're unchanged, are we not mere men and women? We saw out of Luke 5 last week that Peter, because he did not have the Holy Spirit, was a mere man. How many of us have the Spirit of God? It's only two of us, three of us, four. Okay, yeah. This is class participation. So you are not mere men. You are born again of the Spirit of God, making you a child of God. And part of being a child of God means that we are part of His family. Correct? Yeah. And we need to start thinking and acting like we're part of His family, because that's where our hope is. Our hope is not in this world. Yeah, we live in this world. We do things to sustain ourselves in this world, but it all comes from God. God is in control. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are above your thoughts." If we are to get on the right program with God, we need to change the way we think. God is in control of everything. There's nothing that escapes His eyes. There's nothing that He hasn't planned for. If we are so caught up in Jesus Christ, we will not be caught up with all this other erroneous activity. Years ago, I gave it all to God. I said, "It's your responsibility." And He said, "I will teach you how to operate in my Spirit." I didn't have to work at things. He just happened to give them to me. He gave me a beautiful wife. He gave me two great children. I was adopted by my third. You know, I am blessed beyond measure. I could not earn it. God gave it to me. Why? Because my life was pleasing to Him. Not because I'm some better son than another, but He delights in blessing us if we do what He says to do. Our frustrations that we exhibit come as proof that we have not surrendered parts of our life. Think about this for a minute. That's a mighty statement. When we exhibit frustration, it means that we still want control. If we still want control, we don't trust God. Is God in control? In my life, He is. If I'm still doing the things that I'm not supposed to be doing, and God is trying to correct me to change, am I not acting like a mere man? I need to change. I have changed. And I continue to change. Why? Because God is not the one who's going to change. He's not. So I have to change. And so do you. That's why it's important that we understand what this is all about. Jesus said you would count the cost. What is our cost? Who can tell me what the cost is? Everything is exactly right. Everything that you are and everything that you have. You are from God. And everything that you have is from God. And you don't have the things that God wants you to have because you're still a mere man or woman in thinking. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a mainstay of what I was teaching through the years. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, mercy is what? Right? To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship or your reasonable service. He's not asking us to do something unreasonable. He gave his body so that we may live. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Or let's put it another way. If you do this, you will know what the strategy of God is for your life and the body of Christ. You will understand Mutron and you will become activated to do that very thing that God has designed you to be. To do. To serve him. It's leadership's job to guide the church into the fullness that is only found in Jesus Christ. Anything else outside of Jesus Christ is a substitute and needs to be cast off. You will not find your fullness until you submit to the authority of Jesus Christ in your life, and you will not enter into that fullness till you receive the training and then do it. That's the truth. Have any of you thought about why you're not being used of God? Could it possibly be we're not where we need to be? And so we're not lining up with the Metron? Think about this. These are things I'm trying to stimulate your thought process to energize you to see that God has a greater purpose for you than sitting in a pew. The church is not supposed to be sitting in a pew. The church is supposed to go out in the highways and byways. And you don't need my permission to do it because the master said, go. So why aren't we going? Acts 17:28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Are you so consumed with the things of this world that do you not understand that this stuff is going to go away? It's destined for destruction. Our job is not to evangelize people. Our job is to tell people about the kingdom of God. And it's coming. And God is angry with men. And there's only one hope for them to come into his kingdom, and it's through Jesus Christ. You see, the message has centered on Jesus Christ, not the kingdom of God. And that is the gospel. If you don't understand the gospel, you need training. That's wisdom. I need more training. Because I'm just not that smart. I really am not. Our lives must be consumed with Jesus Christ. Period. So that this scripture can be a part of it. I live and move and have my being. I am not there. I live and move and stumble and fall over and do things and all, but my thoughts are not centered on the things of the world. My thoughts are how can I help your people do what they are designed to do? How can I encourage your people to be more than just who they are right now? You have to see the call of God in your life is greater than anything else in this world, and that you will chase after him so that you can fulfill it. If you're not fulfilling your call, you're hurting me. you're hurting the rest of the body. Why? Because they're picking up the slack, even though they're not called, they're picking up the slack for that which you have been called for. And I've heard people say, well, God called, but I'm not going to do that. Okay. You will answer to the king. That's called defiance. That's called rebellion. If the king has called you to do something, shouldn't we be busy about what Father says we should be? Christ never deviated from the things that God has called into our lives. And it all starts with our thinking. And we all heard the sermons, the stinking thinking. And it's true. Because it's so far below who we are in Jesus Christ that we need to jettison that thought life. 2 Corinthians 10:3-8 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once whose obedience is complete? Your. You are looking only at the surface of things. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he. For even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority that God gave us for building you up rather than pulling you down, I will not be ashamed of it. Saying all that is to understand that we're in this thing together. Your warfare is not what the world says it is. Your warfare is right here. Where do you get your arguments? From what you think about. What you value. Satan takes that and he builds a stronghold, which takes you captive and throws you into the dungeon. Until you start believing what God has said, you are captive. You are not a good soldier. I am quite proud of you, Steve. I really am. But my Father is even prouder of you because you have taken the steps to pull this stuff down. No one knows the internal warfare that's going on in you, but God knows. And God's saying to me that he's proud of you. Keep it up. Keep it up. Have we submitted in such a way that we are working to the fullest potential of our obedience? Now, God knows our condition. He knows that we're not going to get this right away, or even on the first attempt, or even on the second attempt. But he knows we're going to get it. Why? Because we're smart. We are. We're of his kids. His kids are not dumb. What you haven't realized is how powerful you are. Satan wants to lie to you. He wants to plant doubt into your life. He wants to tell you you're worthless. And he can. And we take that thought and throw it away because that's not who Daddy says we are. That's why I said the Church of Jesus Christ has an identity problem, because if it did not have an identity problem, it would be activated to do the things that God has called them to do. This scripture stresses our warfare within us until we submit to the authority of the King. And part of that submission is believing what he says is true. And when our obedience is complete, God uses us. Think about that. When our obedience is complete, God uses us. So where are we disobedient? Wherever he's told you that you need to be. To serve. Whatever it is. But somehow, we don't think in those terms. God says, if you submit to me, you will have peace of heart, which is our reward. Nothing can frighten us. If God is for me, who's against me? Who can withstand the power of my Father? No one. They may think that they have the victory, but it's temporary. Because eventually, we're all going to stand before him. And we're all going to give an account. It's not too late. The key to it is repenting and doing it. That's the key. That's why I'm living in Hebrews 4:16. I go to the throne of mercy, and or a throne of grace, and ask for mercy. For that time of need, I need his grace. He knows I'm going to mess up. But we need to go there. We need to humble ourselves as children. Not go, oh, I'm sorry you caught me again. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. We're lying to ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. We should say, by the grace of God, I will do better. As incrementally as it will be, we will do better. John 8:31-32 said, this is Jesus speaking. He said to the Jews who believed in him, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Is that not true, Steve? You know the truth. You are free. That doesn't mean that Satan will not try to battle you to bring you back. That's the warfare. But you have the victory. And we all have the victory. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what excuse do we want to use, because mere men and women use excuses. We are spiritual people who take responsibility for our actions and say, no more. Father, I need your help. Forgive me. Forgive me where I messed up. And then get about Father's business. The word instructs us that God is in control of this world, every situation. He clearly states his thoughts and actions are directed for our highest good. Not for his enemies, for his kids. If you believe that, then you will begin to start jettison the thought life so that you can acquire what God wants you to have. I remember years ago when I was buying a vehicle that I just wanted to buy a vehicle. And so we bought a used vehicle. And man, it was a hunk of junk. It was. And it cost me dearly. So I said, Lord, why isn't this working out for me? He says, how rich do you think I am? That was a thought I never thought of. He says, I own this planet. Everything on this planet is mine. I own it. Have you not read that I own 1,000 heads of cattle on 1,000 hills? I said, yeah. He says, what do you want? I said, I want a new car. Well, to me, a new car was something different than what I had. A new car to God is a new car. One like never before. And so we bought our first new car. Wow, that was easy. What was so cool was we got it, our first car, below the cost that it cost the dealership. And we did it in a snowstorm. Right? Of course, that salesperson no longer worked there, but they had to make quota. My mind changed. If Daddy can afford to put a new car into my life, then he's going to give me the finances to make the payments so that I can pay. And it doesn't cost me anything. That's how juvenile my thinking was at that time. But I was starting to learn. I wasn't thinking that this was a genie in a box, that I could get anything and everything that I wanted. But I was beginning to understand that why should we settle for less when our Father wants to give us most and the best? We settle for less because we're thinking like mere men. It's beneath us. We insult God with that kind of thinking. That is stinking thinking. We need to understand what Romans is all about. Romans tells us how to think, tells us how to prove what God's strategy is. It reorients us to His pattern of thinking. It gives us vision. It gives us the world view from heaven's perspective, not from the world's perspective. And He told the Jews, He said, if you know the truth, if you abide in my teachings, if you live by the word that will govern you, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Real easy, wasn't it, Steve? Once we got it. We got it. This is why our obedience to fully submit to His government, then and only then will we be used of God. Our obedience must be complete. And our obedience starts with, what has God called into your life? I know God's called great and wonderful things into people's lives, and they walk away from it. And it breaks my Father's heart that we would live so beneath what God wants. Well, I'm not supposed to suffer. No. Everyone who does righteousness suffers. You're not righteous. You think you are. You think you are. But your thinking is disqualifying you. You see, to have a radical mindset is to elevate, allow the Spirit to begin to change you in such a way that you don't care what goes on. What I'm going through, I could care less. But the lesson I have to learn is that I still need to glorify God. I can't have bad habits, and I can't have a bad attitude. And I'm guilty. This is hard. It's not the easiest thing to go through. But it's not the worst thing, because I see people in worse condition than me. Proverbs 23:7. We all know this scripture. For as a man thinketh, about the cost, eat, drink, and say to you, but his heart is not with you. That's not the translation I wanted, but that's okay. So a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Eat, drink, and he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Is our heart with God? Does God have full control of your heart? These are serious questions, because guess what? These are serious times, and they're going to get worse, not better. So you need to equip your mind in such a way that you are willing to do whatever it's going to take to to get through to the other side, because our inheritance, our eternal inheritance, is kept with Him. The question is, are you going to make it? And if you're not armed and dangerous, you will be blown away like chaff. It starts with our thinking. This scripture talks, it's a duality. For a man thinketh in his heart, he always is. Talks about a mere man. Whatever is consuming your heart, you're thinking about. But it also says that if you're thinking about the kingdom of God and what God's calling and how He wants to use you, not just where you are right now, what's He saying for the future? That's why we need the prophetic voice. We need to know what God is saying. Not just me. All of us. We're all in this together, whether you understand it or not. It's not predicated on me. It's not predicated on Pastor Gary. It's predicated on all of us. We are the body of Christ. We are living stones. We are God's workmanship. So what do? We must move past from where we are to where Christ wants us to be. Or as the scripture says, we need to move from glory to glory. Where we're at is a low level glory. Where God wants to take us is in His glory. And that requires change of thought life. We have this understanding, this simplistic understanding that once we get saved, we learn about the basics of faith in Christ, and that's all there is to it. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3 talks about this. It says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, or of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, laying of hands, and resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. Most of us are stuck there. We need to repent and get past it. This is for babies. And yet we maintain this mindset that this is all that we need to have. This is what got you going. Who could teach about repentance? Who could teach about faith towards God? Who could teach about baptisms, laying of hands, resurrection of the dead? You all should be able to, and you all will. God has ordained it. The time for fun and frivolity is over. The time to work God's master plan is at hand. And that's what He's trying to get us to see. We don't think that we need to go on, but you know what? If you haven't changed, are you not reverting back to your vomit? Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. This is really tough. Yeah, I know. I've been doing this walk for some time, and I'm not there. I don't expect you to be there tomorrow, but I do expect you to get moving. And so does our Father. He expects it. To remain with that mindset, Hebrews talks further. Hebrews 5 says, we have much to say about this, but it's so hard to explain because you're slow of learning. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God. all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. If you can't even do the elementary things in which I would say, Jim, I have five people that need to know about laying on of hands. Could you teach it? Awesome. That's the response we need. That also means that we need to prepare. We need to get the mind of Christ. We need to do those things to teach new disciples. They're babes. We're not. How long have you been saved? I'm trying to encourage you that this is not the end, but the beginning. We have sat on our duff for too long. There are people who are dying each and every day in our households. Going to hell. Suffering the eternal consequences of their decisions. Taking up religion and not a relationship with the living God. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good and evil. Good and evil. That was on the fruit of the tree of knowledge, was it not? And not many of us can distinguish between the two. Good and evil. I said last week, Satan has been giving us good things, good causes. Oh, after all, we got to save the whales. You know, we got to stop killing the seals. After all, we've got to take care of the kids. They're all good causes. But did God call you to that? You see, the king determines who does what in his kingdom? Not us. Radical thinkers have a mature thought life. As I said earlier, Romans 12:1-2 orients us to the kingdom view. It gives us vision, changes our hearts and attitude towards those who are living outside the kingdom. Living outside. Well, I'm saved. No sweat. I'm good. Me and the man. We're good. We're good. What about them? What about them? Ever since this ministry has started, my heart has always been reaching the lost. That's God's heart. That's my Father's heart. And if we do not have that, I would question if we're saved. I like it one time, someone called at Ed's house, telemarketer, and the guy says to him, I'm going to paraphrase, he says, can I ask you a question? And Ed says, only if I can ask you a question first. And he went into the gospel with this guy. And this guy, telemarketers are not allowed to get off the phone. But I can tell you, that guy wanted to. It's great. It's exciting. We are living in exciting times. At the same time, they're the most wicked and dark. And if we think that we're going to take anything with us to heaven, we're not. It's all going to stay here, including our flesh. So why are we worried about whether I live or die, whether I have clothes or I eat? It is, the bottom line is all for Christ. All for Christ. I'm willing to sacrifice all for Christ. Why? Because I know I have a greater reward in heaven. So what I lose here, I gain so much more. I hit the lottery and I don't have to buy a ticket. And neither do you. Neither do you. A mature thought life of a radical thinker consists of totally being consumed with righteousness, God's government, fivefold, our spiritual jurisdiction, or metron, the royal priesthood of believers, discipleship, evangelism, just to start. Do you ever think about these things? This is no. This is yes. I think about these things continuously. Why? Because I want the mind of God. I want to know what He's doing. I want to know what He's saying. When I say that I see apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists here, I see it. You just don't realize it. You don't think this is possible. Or you don't want to pay the price for it to be possible. I've paid a tremendous price. But it's worth it. Because He's worth it. He paid a tremendous price because He said we're worth it. Do you believe that? We are moving into an apostolic phase in which we are becoming agents of change. Agents of change. Not everybody's going to be an agent of change. Because they don't see what God wants them to see. They only see what they want to see. Remember I said Romans 12, 1 and 2 orients us. We need to become oriented. And it starts with our thinking. If we don't have the right thinking, we will not change. And if we will not change, we will not do the things that God says. But I talked to this person the other day. You know, God used me. Did He say for you to go talk to that person? I mean, it comes down to simplistic having a relationship with Him. I can remember one year God said to me, I want you to go to Asheville, North Carolina. Okay. I didn't ask Him when. I didn't ask Him why. And I didn't ask Him how long. 3 years later, I go to Asheville with my family, North Carolina, which is almost, what is that? Tennessee, almost into Tennessee. And I said to God, I said, why did you have me come all the way out here? Real simple. To see if you would be obedient. Took me 3 years, but I did it. And ever since that time, I haven't been right. According to the world standards. According to His standards, I'm getting better. The apostolic phase that we're moving into will change the way we look at the church, look at our ministries, look at territories, look at callings and motives, will change as we grab a hold of who we are. We are builders of the kingdom. Builders of the kingdom. Are you a builder? We all are builders. Just some of us aren't building to the pattern that God wants us to build to. We are builders together, all of us. We are in this together, all of us. The question I need to ask is, have you taken your responsibility as a builder of the kingdom of God seriously? I don't need answers. I'm trying to stimulate thought. Do you recognize that the advancement of the gospel will not happen without your cooperation? If you don't activate what God has put into you, the kingdom will suffer. And God does not look on that kindly. It's someone else doing your work that you were ordained for. I know it's a lot to think about, but we should have been spending a lot of time thinking about our spiritual fitness. And we should have finished that. We should correctly assess what God has said for us in our callings and stuff and receive the training that we need to fulfill that call. After all, you're the only one that can do what God's called into your life. And if we're not chasing after Him, why are we existing? We exist for His glory. Then, after we receive the training, we need to just do it. Do it. God, do you want me to talk to this one? God, do you want me? He has said to me simply, I want you to walk over to this woman and help her put her groceries in the car. And I walk over and I ask, can I help you? She looks at me with suspicion. I said, God told me to come over here to help you with. Oh, you're so kind. And it lasts for a 45-minute discussion about God. That's serving the Lord. Because if I had just gone over in my strength, hey, can I help you? She could have shut that down and been done. God is ready and willing to use us continuously. It is up to us to determine that. To have a loving relationship with God starts with our thought life. I ask you now, as I close, will you honestly go and assess your spiritual fitness? And then talk to Gary. Talk to me. We won't bite you. God wants you to be all He's made you to be. And you have to believe that. But what if God asked me? Next week, I'm going to talk about individuals who were radical thinkers of their time and what they did to give you examples of hope that whatever God's going to ask you, He's going to provide for you. He's going to make a way for you. And He's going to receive all the glory for it. It's His show. It's His show. Let's stand up. Father, I've given them your word today. And there's still more to come. Lord, it's bite-sized, but I pray that you stir their hearts, stir your people like never before, God. That your house would be full, that your house would be a house of prayer, that your house would be filled to overflowing with people who love you and care for you and are being ministered to and loved on and provided for. God, we repent before you right now. Our thoughts have not been on your lines. We have been taken up by what the world says, and we ask that you have mercy on us, God. Help us, God, to begin to look at the world like you do. Lost, dying, corrupt, evil, wicked. And that's just the good side of it. There is no hope here, God. Our hope lies with you. Our hope lies in Jesus Christ. Our hope lies in being your child for eternity. Your plans and purposes you have revealed to me, and I will reveal to them. God. Be glorified this week. Have people become a thorn in our side, O God, as we put together lessons to teach them, to equip them, to do what you have called each one of us to do. God, may you receive all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And God's people said, Amen.